Well, of course, the economy is at the forefront of everybody's mind these days. And you probably know that we've been spending quite a bit of time trying to figure out the best way to address these issues in our weekly segment on the economy and personal finance. We decided we had so many questions, you probably did too. So we're turning the mic over to you today. Our money coach, Alvin Hall, is going to answer some of the questions you, our listeners, have been sending us. Welcome back, Alvin. Thanks for talking to us.
I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to take these questions because I think the breadth of them will be very interesting.
It is, but while I still have the mic, President Obama took his bid for passage of the stimulus package out of the Beltway into the country yesterday. He had a televised news conference, which I know you watch. Yes. What was the most interesting or provocative thing you heard from it?
It was his tone of voice. I think he had a tone of voice that was strong, full of indignation, and trying to communicate the emotions of the American people to the news people in that room, and more importantly, to Congress. I think that the people who are proving obstructionists with this bill seem tone deaf to the shift in the American economy. They still are holding on to these old values that people are earning these gazillion dollars, these big salaries, and all they need is tax cuts. People need jobs. They need job security, and they don't seem to get that point.
Let's go to the questions from listeners. Here's the first question is from Kimberly from Detroit. Here it is.
I understand that the stimulus package is providing a subsidy to help cover the COBRA insurance. My question is that benefit just for those who have immediately become unemployed or for those who perhaps were unemployed maybe a year ago? If that subsidy is not available, what advice would you give to people who are looking or who need health insurance but who cannot afford the options that are available?
Thanks, Kimberly. And of course, for people who don't know, COBRA is what allows you to continue the health insurance from your employer if you become unemployed. You have to buy it. And a lot of people find the cost of it prohibitive. So, Alvin, I'm sure it's a timely question.
Oh, a very timely question. A lot of my friends are facing this. So this is something I know very well. The new provisions under the stimulus package, it's very unclear how COBRA would actually work, whether or not it will allow you to extend your benefits beyond the 18 months or, if you've been unemployed, to sign back on to COBRA. If you had to ask me honestly, I would doubt they would allow you to sign back on again once it's ended. However, if you do not have health insurance and you work in an industry where there is something like the Freelancers Association or the Organization of Marketeers, a lot of these industry organizations form groups that allow people to get health insurance at slightly cheaper rates. So that's one of the approaches that you can take. Another way that people have been getting health insurance is to sign up as a part-time job with friends who own businesses. So let's say you have a friend who owns a restaurant. You can sign up to work part-time and sign on to their health benefits if they will let you do it. This is one of the great scandals of America. I personally pay somewhere around $850 a month just to have health care. I think that is so wrong and it's so expensive, and I never use it.
Here's another question from Tom. Here it is.
I want to know, what is the objective of the stimulus spending bill? To pay someone to dig a ditch and then pay someone else to fill it in? Or is it to let people decide for themselves how best to use their own money?
Well, Tom, I think this speaks to the question, which is dividing the Congress right now. I think
is in
tax cut camp. I think his argument is, I'm reading into his question, but that tax cuts allow people to distribute the money themselves.
Yes.
What's your argument? And you have a distinct point of view on this, so let's have it.
My point of view is that the stimulus package should focus on putting people back to work because people are not going to spend if they don't have jobs. Let's look at this from a really just basic point of view. Every time I see someone standing up there talking about tax cuts to put money back into the hands of individuals, I always say, this is nice if you're one of those people who has a job and you're earning enough money to be able to pay the bills and afford your house and have a nice lifestyle. Tax cuts will benefit you. But what if you don't have a job? What if you are not earning enough money? You need to work. So therefore, the stimulus package really needs to focus on putting people back to work. I think that tax cuts are just a ruse. They're being used so that people who feel that all of the bureaucracy will waste money, it's being used to focus on that waste, not the real benefit to people who are out of work.
That's Alvin's point of view on this. And I also should mention to the listeners that we have had persons on the program, Republicans, who share a different view, and we'll certainly have more as this conversation continues. Here's another question from San Diego, California.
My name is Marta Garcia. I would like to know how everyday people know how safe is his or her bank. In other words, what are the indicators they should be looking for, and what are the tools available?
Thank you for the question, Marta. I don't think that's an entirely legitimate question.
I think it is too.
People, I think, take for granted the fact that things like their peanut butter are going to be safe, and it isn't. And so, what's the answer, Alvin?
Unfortunately, there isn't an easy answer to this question. It is impossible to know that your bank is going to fail before they actually fail. You know, there isn't a clearing organization that vets banks that we can all have access to that information. So the best thing to do is to know the FDIC limits. This is the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation's limit, and only keep money in your bank up to that limit, which has been recently raised to $250,000 per account. If your bank then fails and you have that in the bank, then you will get your money back because the government stands behind that. If you have more than that in the bank, oops. So spread your money around, Martha, if you have more money than that.
Okay. And here's a timely question for Valentine's Day coming up.
Love question.
That's right. Well, we hope it's a love question. It's really more practical, but I'm sure you don't disagree with that. Here's a question from Joy in Columbia, Maryland.
My fiancé and I are purchasing a home together this month and getting married in May. We are curious to know how our deductions and filing status can be adjusted to increase our income or our take-home pay once these changes take place. The extra cash will be a big help in starting a new life and a new home together.
Well, thank you, Joy, and best wishes and congratulations to you.
Yes. I must admit, though, that this question disturbs me. If they are having to adjust their income just after buying a new house, it's saying that they may be stretching a bit too much. I think they really need to look at where they can make cuts in their lifestyles. You can adjust your deductions by taking a few more dependents on, looking at the marriage allowance, but it's not going to yield a lot of money. If you're stepping up to buy a new house and the first thing you have to focus on is making adjustments in your deductions, this is not a good sign. They need to sit down, make up an agreement between the two of them about how they're going to cut things down in their lifestyle, but yet keep it warm and cozy and loving, but do that up front before they get married.
Now, could this be a matter of believing the hype? I mean, I think a lot of people have been told that buying a house is kind of your ticket to to riches and well-being, and that they've been told that that's the reason to do it is for the tax benefits.
Absolutely. And they've been told that because you get all these benefits, it will yield to you more money.
Exactly.
You can use that money to carry the house. And it's not always that true. If you can't carry the house with the money you're earning now, then you're probably at the edge. You really need to be able to afford the house by taking 25 to 30% of your take-home pay and applying it to your mortgage. If you're up above that, I'd be very nervous. I'm concerned for them because they're looking at the deductions first rather than being able to afford the house easily now.
Well, I'm glad that they wrote in because it shows that they're interested in the best way to address these matters. So good for them.
And address them before they get married. They may be engaged now because what is the largest cause of divorce in America today? It's not infidelity. It is money problems because they are hardwired to people's emotions. And when you get married, you buy into this person, the love, the potential of them, and let them disappoint you.
Okay, well, tough love as always. But you know, Alvin, you know what you always say, no romance without finance.
That's true.
It's tough out here. It's tough out here. We hope that better times are around the corner.
Oh, I hope to. I hope that Obama is able to stimulate the Senate and the House of Representatives to look at what's happening to all of us in the economy. This is not just about tax cuts. It's people out there who really want to work. It's not just, you know, digging a ditch and filling it in. It's about being able to put food on the table for your family, to feel that you have a future ahead of you. I hope that the Senate and the House of Representatives understand that and jump on board the package.
Well, happy Valentine's Day to you anyway, Alvin.
Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Valentine's Day on the budget anyway.
That's all right. I'm good at shopping at sales.
Okay. Alvin Hall is our regular contributor on matters of personal finance and the economy. He joined us from our bureau in New York. Alvin, thank you.
Glad to be here.